everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. And we welcome you to the Buckmaster program in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio for Friday, June 11th, 2021. Are you ready for this really, really hot weather, Tom Fairbanks? Heat warning going up to 111. Are they topping it at 111, or is it actually 113 now?
Well, they're saying maybe 113 by Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Other than that, we're looking at 112 Sunday, 112 Monday.
Okay, and on it goes until hopefully we get some cloud buildups. Maybe we can get some
The excessive
rain.
Heat warning goes into effect 10 in the morning tomorrow and lasts till 8 p.m. Wednesday.
Wow. Okay, everybody, be very careful. And we certainly want everybody to be careful if you're headed for the mountains. We do not need a repeat of what we had last year up in the Catalinas. The Buckmaster Show, our 11th year. We're 10 and a half years into the project on the radio on KVOI. Of course, you can hear our programs at buckmastershow.com, where we have an extensive archive, 10 and a half years of programs. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we do our media shout-outs. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan. I know you're listening. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan Shear is here, the editor of those two fine papers. Dan, thank you for everything you have done, not only over the years, but certainly over my very trying last three weeks.
My pleasure.
Or so. It was wonderful to have you holding down the fort along with some other great people. It was terrific. Tucson Local Media Group supports us and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. And by the way, Dan, that was an excellent interview. That was 2 weeks from today that you did the interview with the new owners of the Weekly.
That's right.
And they sound like they want to, you know, keep improve things.
Yeah, actually, they want to get to know the area and not tear it down and build it up. And they know that that has quite a past, those newspapers, and that this area is growing. I think they're serious. We'll see how it pans out.
Our Friday Focus interview with me in studio, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos. Sheriff Nanos, a Democrat who was elected last November, unseating Republican Sheriff Mark Napier. Sheriff Nanos, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you, Bill.
This is our first visit with you, really, since you were sworn in 5.5 months ago. How does it feel this time around for you on the job over at the Sheriff's Department?
Well, it's excellent to be back. I've always said we've got some great people over there who do great things every day, so makes my job easier. So, yes, I'm pleased to be back and certainly busy as can be.
Have you put together the team you want right now, your personnel?
Yes. I mean, so when I came in, we had a pretty good mass exodus of leadership there. Which is
folks headed for some of them headed for the exits.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's okay because it allows me to promote some of the young men and women there and give them an opportunity. Certainly there's a learning curve and there's some mentoring that needs to go on with all of that. But we're doing well, and I'm very proud of the team we've assembled.
Here's Dan Shear.
You and I have talked about recruiting in the past, and it's very difficult. And you recently were quoted in one of our stories as we looked at this whole area and what you're up against. Tucson has raised pay, Tucson Police Department. That puts more pressure on you. What do you need right now, specifically in regards to pay, to get you to where you want to be?
So here's the issue, and I'm working with all four, well, there's four different associations, three associations in the Fraternal Order of Police. So the two corrections officers and the deputy association and the FOP, I have told them that I will gladly work with them if they can become one voice. I understand their political differences that exist there, and that's okay, but when it comes to the team, they need to be together, and they have done that, and they are working with the Board of Supervisors. It's my understanding they have contacted them. They plan to send a letter out explaining to them their situation. For me, yes, recruiting is a big issue. You know, when I applied, we had 1,500 applicants. The last academy class, we had like 50.
Wait a minute. Now, when you applied, and what you—that was, I assume, quite a few years ago.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, but there were how many?
1,500.
1,500.
Yes.
And now you're saying how many?
We literally hold like two or three application processes because we can't get enough. So we typically get about 50 to 100 get in there, and then you have to go. They have to meet certain standards that the state sets.
But that's
so,
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough out there right now. And it's not just in law enforcement. I think the job market across the country is tough. But you're exactly right. The city got a very large pay increase, and we're not sure of all those numbers. We are actually working with our partners at Tucson Police to get those numbers to us. And we're trying to get them to the board so they can understand the situation. Because here's the thing for the city. I actually believe they did something right here, and that was take care of their entire workforce. And I expressed this to our associations. You're not just in this battle for deputies and COs and my civilian staff, which I think deserves the biggest raise of if I were to do it myself. But the real issue here is it's a countywide raise, because if you're a clerk at the city and I need a clerk at the county, I'm competing against the same people. I understand some job classifications are different. They don't have corrections officers. We do. But those are things that can be worked in and worked around. The bottom line is, when Scottsdale gives their people a pay raise, you're really going to be hard-pressed to get a lot of deputies to uproot their families and move to Scottsdale.
Uh-huh.
But this is my backyard. Nobody has to uproot anything. They just have to drive to a different parking lot. And that's really going to be tough. So I don't have a specific numbers to say we need this percentage or this much money. What I would tell them is, rather than do a study on whether the value market is this, where we're under or over, which the city has already done, I tell Mr. Huckleberry and the board that I would rather them do a study on what has the city done with all of their pay raises across the board. This is a unique time for the county, because they actually, we always hear, our greatest asset are those who work for us. They have an opportunity now to invest in there. $204 million is coming to this county from Biden's administration. That's not a part of the budget. I'm not sure where it's headed.
200 plus?
200 plus
That's
million.
That's a big payday you're
yes,
talking
it is.
About.
And coming, all within 1 year.
Coming to Pima County?
Correct.
What are you going to get, your department? What kind of piece of the pie?
I don't know. What I'm saying to this is, yeah. is I leave that to the board and Mr.
Okay.
Huckleberry to decide how to disperse that.
But there's big money coming.
But we are at a good place. Probably, if you don't do it now, when will you do it?
Yeah.
And that's, I think they really need to do a study to say, how do we make things equal? How do we make things equitable with the city where we can be competitive when we go to hire a policeman or a secretary or whatever it may be?
And let me just share a number that you shared with us, and that is you've lost, I believe, 4 dispatchers to Pima Community College,
yes.
where they are paying $22 an hour. You're
wow.
paying $18.
Correct.
And of course they're going to go over, because as you say, they have to drive across town. It's not like moving up to a brand new city in Arizona, which is Queen Creek, which is bringing its own issues, because they're now siphoning off people probably 3 to 5 years experience at a whole lot more money. But it's a tougher sell to go up there. You're right. But you told us that in some cases you are $5 and $6 an hour behind some agencies.
Correct. Correct. That's not just in dispatchers. It's in law enforcement issues. It's everywhere. And like I say, I'll be honest with you. The librarians are hurting. Everybody
sure.
across this community is hurting. And if there's a way to make that right, what a great opportunity. We have 3 new board members.
Right.
They actually can control that board.
But big picture, you said when you applied back in the day, there were like 1,500 people. Mm-hmm. It was a profession that people wanted to go into. Your profession has been really sullied. The reputation has been sullied. A lot of people don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, Chris
yeah.
Nanos.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that's on me. That's on us, the leaders in law enforcement, to get out to the community and make them understand that we understand that there's problems within our profession. Our profession, like a lot of professions, evolves. You know, it was a long time ago. When I started, they had just gotten away doing away with saps. Literally, you carry leather saps and whack somebody over the head there. And you know what they progressed to? They progressed to leather gloves where we put sand in them. I remember those. And you'd
whack
somebody on the side of the head to get them in line, right?
Ouch.
Oh, my God.
So it evolved to what?
Yeah.
What next? a stick, a baton.
Yeah.
And then a monadnock thing with for ninja
then,
type stuff.
Then to the taser.
Oh, no. Before that, we had these antennas, like metal poles, and we could whack you. It is like, what are we thinking? Tasers have actually proven to be an effective tool, and I think we're starting to use technology in a way that we've not thought of before to... You don't just hit people. You've got to find a better way to do police.
And now and officers evolved. Wearing body cams, and maybe some officers don't like that.
Well, actually, you know, I was
or
against
do they?
It. I was against it 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, it is the big number one demand out there from the deputies, other than pay, is
why?
Give me cameras. Because they know that the complaints they receive against them could be proven to be false on the biggest majority of the time. They also know that camera alters behavior, not just theirs, but the individual they're talking to. So I'm excited for the body cams to get here.
And they'll be here within 6 months?
Well, we're working with the vendor we can't do anything until July 1. I think they vote to approve the board, the budget, the recommended budget on the 22nd. Mm-hmm. So that's a couple of weeks away maybe. If that happens, then we can start negotiations and get things done. I'm hoping we'll have them by the end of the summer.
What's the protocol? You can turn it on and off under
certain occasions,
right? I mean,
yeah,
we can all imagine what those occasions would be.
I've got to give it to Axon. I saw a presentation.
Axon is your
the company
looking
maker,
at, is
yes.
the people that make these
They're the
things.
Largest one in the nation, if not the world.
Okay.
They actually now can transcribe as you're talking. You
what?
Get a transcription done, just like your Siri or your car and stuff or your... And 85% accuracy is what they're reporting. With stuff like that, it changes the way you do business.
They transcribe the dialogue.
Yes,
that's happening.
Correct.
In real time.
Yep. Pretty much.
Whoa.
Pretty much.
Dan, did you have something else before we talk about Mona's?
So basically speaking, if an officer or deputy is engaging with the public, that thing is probably going to be on. The camera's probably going to be on.
So they also have it set so that you can turn it on if I remove my taser, if I remove my gun, if I open my car door, if I turn on my spotlight. You get to set those, the administrative rights to set them how they want to have them come on and off. Here's another thing. They can come on and it can go back all the way to 2 minutes before they came on and show what was being recorded.
Really?
The biggest, the most expensive issue here is the redaction of these things, and they have even recognized that as an issue, and they are helping in that. Before, say, I didn't want Chris Danis' face on a camera. Every time that face came up, you had to redact it. It'll recognize not only Chris Danis on that camera, but all the other cameras around that come on, and it redacts it automatically. So there's a lot of things they're doing in that technology to make it work. What I found interesting and most humorous, because this is a company out of Scottsdale. They do their transcription in two languages, English and French.
What?
And I thought,
we're
Spanish
not up
speakers.
In Quebec. This is not Montreal.
And that's exactly what they said. They said when they first started their company years ago, one of the biggest investors was Quebec.
Well, this is not Eastern Canada, but you can see where that goes back to their roots. Let's take a break right here, and then we'll be back with Dan Shearer and Sheriff Nanos. But right now, Sheriff Nanos, I want to talk about comfort food. We could all use a little of that right now. Sheriff Nanos, how do you feel about bakery goods?
Oh, my goodness. Does it have sugar?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, that wonderful Scandinavian pastry that's light and tasty. It's a multi-layered pastry that comes in a variety of flavors. Generally, Sheriff, do you go for the almond croissant, a chocolate croissant, strawberry? What would you go for just if it's there?
I have to choose. I can't just take a little of all of them.
Well, that would work.
Yeah.
Take a little bite of every one of
them,
right? All right, Mona's is open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are closing now on Mondays because Steve needs a day off. They've been very busy. They've had the post-COVID era. A lot of people have been heading up to Mona's, and you will get a great breakfast there. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Sheriff Chris Nanos is here. Dan Shearer is here from the Greenville Valley News. We'll be right back.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos is with me in studio, as is Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Dan, you're up to the plate.
Your office is coming under a lot of criticism for not releasing a couple of pieces of information that many of us in the media feel are public record, and there's really no discussion on whether it should have been released. One is a video from a local judge, Adam Waters, who fired a gun when he was confronted by what could be a stalker. Several of us have asked for that video. We've been turned down. You are not answering inquiries now or telling people why you're not giving it up. Why are you not?
Well, it's pretty simple. First of all, anyone who goes and asks for public records, they file it either online or a phone call, or you know the process. You go to our records section, they take that, request and make copies of what it, if it's a report or whatever it is, and they send it to the Criminal Investigations Division. If the Criminal Investigations Division is handling that case and they look at it and they make their comments or remarks as to what is or isn't releasable, and they pass it on to the our legal advisor. In this case, it's Mr. Holguin, who works for the county attorney's office. Mr. Holguin has been in that office for over 18 years and done this job for quite some time. It is his opinion that we go by. And his opinion was that the records that were asked for, some was released, I think all the reports and the case reports and that, but that one piece, that video, for whatever reason, his reason, and it would be based on a lawful reason for him, his interpretation was not to release it. And so when he makes that recommendation, the sheriff's not involved in that. It doesn't even come to me. It's given to the requester saying, here's what you get, and this is what you don't get, and here's why. It's because lawfully, according to our lawyer, you can't have it for but whatever reason.
But that's not what you said at first. You, in fact, I have never heard that. All I've heard is that we're not releasing it, and that came from your department, not from the county attorney's office. And what you said was that it's not a public record because it wasn't created by sheriff's officials. It's a public record. It's in your possession. Mm-hmm. It's a video. It's something that the public has an overwhelming interest in, and it's not going to damage the case to release it. We know this because it was released in March to a TV station through some means.
So let me ask you, did I say that, or are you referring to an email you received from our department?
I got an email from your department that said we are not releasing it. Sheriff's Department.
Yes, that's what I want to okay. clear up for
okay.
you. I am explaining to you the process, and the process goes through the attorney. Whatever he does, it's done. Now, you may get an email, a phone call, or whatever, but it's not from Chris Nanos. Now, I was asked by the reporter in this case, hey, how come you won't release this? County attorney said it's not releasable. Then she had a series of questions that I actually thought were somewhat threatening, and I just said, I'm just going to ignore those and I'm not going to answer them. So, you know, Dylan Smith, a good friend of ours, we had this discussion some time ago on Messenger. Okay. And Dylan's opinion is very much valued by me, but it's like I told Dylan, I have attorneys that give me advice. I can either go with the advice of a legal attorney who's done this for a long time, or a reporter who wants something from it.
Do you believe it's a public record? Do you believe it's a public record?
You know, I'm not going to go there, Dan. I'm sorry. My opinion doesn't matter in this. It really is the county attorneys that make that decision and that call.
No, it isn't. They do not determine what a public record is. They may determine whether it should be released, but they don't determine. This is a public record. It's in your possession. It should be released. It's really simple. Let's go to a different case then. There was some criticism over the fact that it took 2 weeks after an officer, a deputy-involved shooting in January, to tell the public that this person who was shot dead, a 19-year-old, did not have a gun in his hand. How come it took that long and so long to release the deputy's name?
Well, I don't know that it took that long to release the deputy's name. I thought we did that day, but maybe I'm wrong. I'd have to look at that. As far as releasing the what was found at the scene and what wasn't found at the scene, one thing we learned from the Garena incident, I don't know if you remember that case, was we showed up there, some chiefs showed up there, and immediately got on the TV and said, oh, he shot at our officers. It wasn't for several hours later, almost the next day, that the investigation found that that didn't happen at all, that he couldn't have fired the weapon because it was unsafe. And so then we had to go back and review all the videos that we could get from it, and we learned that, no, he didn't fire. What we're trying to do is we're not delaying anything to hide things. We want to give our investigators the amount of time necessary to complete their investigation so we get a full picture of what it is before. So Chris Nanos doesn't come out and say, yeah, this happened, and then I'm wrong, and I've got to retract. It's just we're being cautious.
But we've seen cities erupt in flames for less than this. You're telling me it took 2 weeks to determine that this guy had a key fob in his hand rather than a
weapon? I don't believe I've seen a city erupt in flames for less than this. I'm sorry, Dan. We'll disagree there. What I would tell you is this. our investigative team is top notch. We are going to straighten out some of this. TPD does with their body cams, which I'm hoping we will employ some of that. In 6 hours, they had video out of an officer-involved shooting of a gentleman. And they just put the video out and pointed to, here's the guy with a knife. With our Pima critical incident team, we are going to adapt some of those. In fact, on June 28th, we have a 2-3-day school coming from LAPD's Use of Force Division. They're sending a team down.
Is this that de-escalation
to train? Our Use of Force. They're going to train over 70 of our officers in the whole valley, every department, including TPD, in this valley, Tucson Airport Authority, Tucson, South Tucson, everybody will receive this training and be a part of a team that if, for example, the sheriff's department's involved in the shooting, then the sheriff's department steps back and allows the other agencies to work that case and present it. Now, the sheriff could do a peripheral investigation for internal matters, but that criminal investigation will be handled by others, and it'll be the same for all of the agencies.
But people can get a video out in 6 hours because they know it's a public record. There is no question. They're not going to their hired attorneys and saying, gosh, what's your opinion? They know it's a public record. It's within their power to release it, and they do it. And certainly in 6 hours, no investigation of any depth could have possibly been done, so there's no determination that it would have hindered anything. They're getting it out there because they know that the public needs to see this, and then they can interpret it or do whatever they want, but they're getting it out, and you're not.
You're right. I'm not. I don't have video. That's why I'm pushing for body cameras. I did that on day one.
But you have this video in your possession.
So now you're talking about police records, what I have, my police reports. We got that out to you within whatever time frame it was. Mm-hmm. The video, for whatever reason, the attorney does not believe is a police record, is a public record.
Okay. Dan, can I move on?
Sure.
Okay. we could spend the rest of the half hour or rest of the 10 minutes. Matt is with us on the live line. Matt, could you make your question as quick as possible? Sorry about the delay.
Yes. Sheriff, I hate to pile on to this, but Dan just happened to be ahead of me. But as a former Army officer who basically spent a year in Iraq running casualty operations, I got to tell you that the death of a soldier in my backyard in Tucson is of critical concern. And when I read, it happened to come across where I just all of a sudden happened to come across that story regarding the soldier in question, Bradley Lewis. I read that, newspaper article, and I hate to say it really brought a lot of concern to my attention as to what occurred in this situation. I know that you are still conducting, your use of force investigation. I guess I was surprised that the county attorney did two investigations and simply said, no charges. I don't understand how they could even do that before you have finished your investigation of the officer and his conduct.
Any comments? Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to take this off.
Okay, sure.
For me. Matt, first of all, thank you for your service. You've got, maybe I didn't say it very clear. The county attorneys reviewed the case after the completion of the investigation. They do not do, now they came out to the scene as typically they do, and the officer has the right to representation, and his attorney came out to the scene, excuse me, as typically they do, and they reviewed the scene. They just watched, and then they departed. But they did not do anything with the case until we completed our investigation, handed it to them, and then we gave it to the county attorney's office. One of the attorneys reviewing it gave it to us. Ms. Conover, who was new in the office, asked me if it was her first shooting, and she felt like, and rightfully so, she should have a hand in this, and so she wanted a chance to review that, and so we gave it back to her to have a second review. And you'd have to ask the county attorney, but I think the end result from Ms. Conover, and the first reviewing attorney was the same.
Sheriff, let me ask you about this Jewish synagogue vandalism. Sad day in Tucson, June 7th. This is the second synagogue vandalized in less than 3 weeks. I know it's within the city, but I know you guys work together with the city on this one.
You know, it is concerning, and particularly because it's a hate crime. I don't care. We've seen it nationally, Asians being assaulted and for no reason, and now we have this happening in our backyard. It's a little more troubling when it's that close to home. So we work close with TPD, and we will, and if they need our assistance, they don't hesitate to ask, and we're the same way.
Dan, and I know crime is up across the country. It's a big concern in Green Valley. People are very worried about it. What about the Pima County crime stats when you compare them to the city? I know the city's at a spike.
Well, so let's talk about violent crime. Across the nation, violent crime is up, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Homicides are up. The city of Tucson, I think, recorded, I want to say their 18th or 19th homicide the other day. That's really high.
It's up.
We've had seven now, so that it is a concern. But when you look at violent crime across the nation, typically your urban areas, your inner cities, are as much as 5 to 6 times greater than the suburbs or the rural areas, the county, for example. In this case, the city's average is right around, for violent crime, 6 or 7, I think it is, they're more like, I think they're 18 is where they're at, 18 point something, for violent crimes mm-hmm. per 1,000.
Yes.
The county is at 2.8 or
is
something.
Is that ratio about
the average across the country is about 5 to 6 times versus urban, inner city to rural area. So, yeah, it is up. It's a concern. We talk quite regularly with Tucson Police Chief Magnus and his team, his leadership. And, we work pretty close together. And not just with Tucson Police, all of the police agencies in the Valley, this critical incident team that we're putting together for the first time
meeting is next within 2 weeks.
It's training. We're getting training from the LA Police
is
Department
within,
on this. Yeah, the 28th, 29th, yeah.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Under the heading boring but important, you have an infrastructure problem.
Okay.
And how are you going to solve it? You were talking about it off the air.
You're talking at the jail?
Right.
Yeah. So yesterday about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one of our corrections officers saw a pretty large chunk of concrete out in the rec yards of one of our pods.
What?
Hanging off the wall. They went to inspect it, pull it down, and when they did so, it exposed quite a bit of problems with the structure of that wall, and that wall is a weight-bearing wall for the roof and netting that goes over that yard. We immediately got a hold of facilities management. They have shut that yard down, which impacts 73 inmates that can't have yard there. And then we immediately from there went and started doing inspecting other areas, and there's another yard, a second yard, maybe not quite in that state of disrepair, but it's getting there, so we shut that down. That's impacted another 70 inmates. So
inmates are not going to get yard time?
No. We will make sure that occurs. I mean, we have to. It's a great need, and so it's just quite an inconvenience on staff to make sure that those processes happen.
And I bring it up because I think it's important that people understand that, the public records and the reports and the pay is very important stuff, but you have to worry about a lot of things. Oh, and this man. Is not one people think yeah. about.
You know, we came in here with some staffing issues, and I've been fortunate to work. Mr. Huckleberry and the board has been gracious to help me through some of these things, getting substations set up, getting my staff in positions where they can better serve the community with better response times. You do have some pay inequities, and we've worked closely with the board on those issues, but it's bigger than that. As we know, it's countywide, actually. And so we're working on those, and then you add in the personnel matters and the here comes the jail and the infrastructure. Yeah, we're pretty busy.
And what about rescues now? We've got a really big heat wave coming in here.
You know, I think I told you, that search and rescue team is deployed every day. Every day
really?
they're out doing getting somebody, a hiker or something.
Horsebacks involved.
Whatever it could be.
Helicopters, yes,
everything. Yeah. And now with this heat... we can't stress enough. It's hot. If you're out there, get out there early and take a lot of water. And please, if you find yourself in a bad way, don't be macho and call 911.
Very quick question to follow up on the pay inequities. You mentioned it at the deputy level. Are the upper ranks in the sheriff's department equitable, or would you be going for a raise for them also?
Well, my primary concern actually is our civilian workforce. When I met with the Board of Supervisors, I explained to them that I trust me, everybody in that department deserves a raise, the deputies, the corrections officers, but we have neglected, and I say we, that goes all the way back to when I was there, our civilian workforce. They have no associations, no leadership, nobody really fighting for their pay. And I said, it's time that we take care of them. They have really fallen behind. Well, I had, when I came in, 32 people making less than $14 an hour.
That's
literally they could walk across the streets to Taco Bell and, wow. and make that. So Mr. Huckleberry, the board has been very gracious and has helped us get those people where they should be. Some of these people have been there 20 years. And you know, the sad part about COVID was we put these people as, they weren't as important, right? And so we tagged them that way and pushed them out. And they're the ones who lost to get a paycheck. They had to go through their sick leave and their vacation time. Wow. And they're the lowest paid people.
Yeah.
And so we hopefully can correct some of that.
We are over, but I always have one more question. So how are you getting along with not only Mr. Huckleberry, but the new makeup of the board?
You know, they have been very gracious to me. They have reached out to me and asked a number of questions, and I have done the same. You know, it's a good relationship. I know that sometimes there's going to be some headbutting, but that's okay, too. It's
right.
never personal.
Sheriff Chris Nanos, good to see you, Sheriff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
All right. Dan and I will talk for a few minutes, but that's going to be right after we take the break. And the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Sheriff Chris Nanos, our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer sticks around. He's with me in studio, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahorita Sun. He's the editorial director of two dozen newspapers owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Actually own a couple of newspapers up in an area that a state I will no longer mention the name of, the 49th state.
Ouch.
My wife says, we got to go back to Alaska, you know, because we didn't get a vacation. My goodness. The first full day of vacation, I take a fall. My goodness. And she's saying on the way in today, my wonderful chauffeur driver, that we've got to go back and really do Alaska again. And I'm going, I don't know if I'm ready. But you've got a paper in Wasilla.
Yes.
And in Anchorage,
yes.
a competing paper for the Daily News, or that it's
right.
a weekly.
Yeah, it's an alternative weekly. It's
okay.
Much like the Tucson Weekly,
yeah.
So we own that up there, and then the Wasilla paper, which is a traditional paper. So yeah.
Hey, Brnovich, our Attorney General, our Attorney General, when he was running for Attorney General, he was constantly calling our show, other shows, always saying, Bill, can I get on the air? When can I get on the air again? Well, we'll get you on as soon as we can. He did that with all of our shows. He becomes Attorney General. He is the, like, disappearing. He's like the invisible man. And now he declares, oh, I want to be a U.S. Senator.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when the press releases out of your office always start with your name, that you're not satisfied in the job that you're in.
Yeah.
And that's been the case for him. And I will tell you, I have a special place in the corner of somewhere for him because he came down and he talked to us when he was running for Attorney General.
Sure he did.
And it's one of my favorite stories to talk to him. And I could not get this man to answer a question. I started making hash marks because I'm like that. I asked one question 8 times. He had his points, and no matter what question I was going to ask, he was going to throw one of the points out there, even if it didn't answer the question, which it didn't. So in the end, the headline of the editorial was banging my head against the wall, and then, because that's what I felt like I was doing my entire time with him, because he wasn't listening. And I had worked at this huge newspaper for a long time, and then I come to this real small paper in Green Valley, and I thought, gosh, is it because it's a small paper? Does he think he can just kind of push us around,
yeah.
or what is it? Or is he just this arrogant cuss? And that's probably what it is. And
you're
right. Now he's going to be back on our doorstep,
yeah.
and
I don't know if now we'll start to get calls that he wants
asked to come on the air. I don't know. I kind of doubt it.
We'll see. We'll see. We got a year and a half, Bill, before this election.
I know. Let's see if we can work Donna in real quickly. Donna on the live line. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you doing better?
I'm hanging in there. That's the first 4 weeks have been very difficult.
Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you fell, were you wearing bifocals or progressive glasses?
I was not. I was wearing prescription sunglasses, Ray-Bans, and I was not wearing the progressives. But I kind of think I hear where you're going maybe with that.
I've fallen when I had my bifocals on, excuse the depth perception.
Yeah, that
and,
could
you know,
have been.
Mary Martin, the same thing happened to her.
I know.
She missed the last step.
Yeah, I know. So. Mary had her accident like a week or so after mine.
Right.
Hers
so
being
people
the
need
leg,
to know,
leg
if you're
injury.
Wearing glasses, hold on to the rail and be very careful when you go downstairs. You're going to miss the last step.
Yep. That is really a good point. And I'll tell you, once you fall, this is the first time I've ever fallen, first time I've ever broken a bone. You are constantly now thinking, I don't want to fall again. I'm not going to miss a step. Dan, have you ever had a kind of a life crisis like this?
I have not had anything like you experienced. And I got to tell you, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I've had some surprises in life. But given where I am in Green Valley, we've had a lot of people go through this where mm-hmm. suddenly life is on pause for a couple of months or even longer. And so I guarantee you're going to be more careful next time. But it just sneaks up on you. Like you said, you had No idea.
Just had a beautiful fish lunch at Ray's up in Seward, Alaska. Beautiful lunch, fresh halibut. I was in such a great mood. It was a beautiful day. And then I take a tumble, and suddenly I'm over in the emergency room. And vacation is basically over, although we did soldier on.
Yeah, for a week.
And my wonderful wife, Ann, got some wonderful pictures. Tom, is that going to do it for the break here? We're at break time. We are. Okay, Dan. A big thank you and shout out. You do a fabulous job when you sit in this chair. You really do. You're
I
great,
appreciate that, Bill.
Great
thank
host.
You.
And the programs you did are at buckmastershow.com. I especially think point folks in the right direction for the one you did with the media folks
right.
2 weeks ago.
Right, Steve Strickbine.
Yes.
So he's in your area. You should know about him.
Yep. Good deal. All right, we'll be right back. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to all of us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The Buckmaster Show guarantee it will be cooler in Silver City. In fact, they are looking for temperatures. That guarantee will hold up. Upper 90s coming up over the weekend, then down to about 90 degrees early next week. So we're certainly going to be well within that 10-degree difference between Tucson and Silver City, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners to that beautiful area of the Southwest New Mexico. The website, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning right now. Now, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. And, you know, let me just join the chorus of those across this community that welcome you back to the radio. I'm telling you, I'm so pleased to hear about your continued healing from that nasty fall.
Oh, boy, I took a tumble, I'll tell you. Hey, we're 4 weeks into it, and if it was a hockey match, I'm kind of looking at it like, period one is over. I'm ready for period two next week. Period two will feature all of the PT. Period one, I lost that one, but I'm going to win the second period, I'll tell you right now.
My money's with you.
All right. I'm ready for some Peruvian cuisine. Can you help me out?
Yeah, for sure. You know, Peruvian Independence Day isn't for another month, but the team at Via Peru simply can't wait for the moment to arrive. They're hosting a Peruvian ceviche festival now through Saturday. And there's not just a handful of ceviches taking center stage. There are 14 of them, and you can taste all of them, each made from the freshest fish available. They say that hosting this kind of festival is a way for them to share Peruvian culture with their beloved city of Tucson. But let me add, Bill, a round of pisco sours is yet another way with this national cocktail of Peru being shaken up as well. Head to the northwest corner of River and Campbell this weekend for the Peruvian Ceviche Festival.
And speaking of adult beverages, how about a brew?
We always celebrate the successes of our local craft breweries. One of them turns 4 years old this weekend, and what a party they have planned. Copper Mine Brewing Company on South Palo Verde Road commences the celebration tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Live music, food from some great local food trucks, and a lineup of commemorative beers brewed just for the occasion. And they're going to be releasing some of their favorite beers in cans, including the Irish Red, the Dead Canary IPA, and the Hibiscus Blonde. The party goes all the way to 9 p.m., so swing by tomorrow, hoist a pint or two for this fun Coppermine birthday.
I love the Fisher, and they always do a great job in the summer.
They sure do, and if there's one thing that Kingfisher fans look forward to every year is summer, because their annual summer road trip takes their guests on kind of a virtual tour of some of the most delicious regions of the country. So this is how it works. Every 2 weeks throughout the summer, their chefs offer a special menu featuring dishes and drinks from these regions. And this weekend is all about the Southwest, with dishes like grilled pork medallions with a red mole. Now, The Southwest menu wraps up tomorrow night, and starting next week, the tour heads to the Pacific Northwest. Now, the restaurant's regular menu will be offered throughout the tour as well. But you know me, Bill. If it's summer, I always go for the summer road trip at Kingfisher.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Great to have you back, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Have a great weekend, everybody.